Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Finding the Kingdom Culture. This is lesson one in our series titled, Introduction to Finding the Kingdom Culture. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
But what makes a father? It's something, it's not something that's biological. It's not a, what makes a father is that you father someone. That's what makes a father. A father is someone who takes on a particular character of caring, a particular character of, I do this not looking for anything in return. A father is one who fails often. Anybody got a witness, father? I had a situation in my life at probably 30, I'd say 30 plus years ago. But as you can see, I haven't forgotten it. And as I was, as my children were just little stair steps, you know, 2 and 3, 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, I guess somewhere along in there. And at our house, there's some steps. And I had a little rule. The children's bedrooms were upstairs. And I had a little rule, and that rule was you don't leave stuff on the steps. Good rule, fathers? Somebody fall down the steps. Good rule. You don't leave things on the steps. So I came home one day, and one afternoon, hot and tired, and our bathroom is right past the steps. So I headed to the bathroom where there were some things on the steps. And so I, as being a good father as I am, I called my children down. I said, you need to get the things up off the steps, and let's, you know, take them up. Of course, in my mind, that's the first warning, right? It's, I was very nice. So I walked on in the bathroom. I was in there 5 or 10 minutes, came back. Still stuff on the steps. So I called my 3 children back down, gave them all 3 a spank, and sent them to the room. And as they went to the room, they took stuff off the steps. And then my wife came running in and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I've got, you know, kids put stuff on the steps. Came back out still on the steps, so I just gave them all the spank and sent them to the room. She said, I just put that stuff on the steps. Uh-oh. That was my first mistake. My second one was following my wife back into the kitchen. I will not tell you that discussion, thank you. So I came back, went upstairs, got my children, apologized to them. Went there to my little boy, Joe. He was just a little thing. Looked about like Dustin's little boy. I said, son, I'm sorry. And he looked up at me and said, Dad, it's okay. Said, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Now, if you're a father, you understand that one. And it, through the years, I write little parables. But it was out of that one that I wrote this parable. If you can read it there, it says, what makes a great father? It's very forgiving children. Now, everyone in here has a father. Now, you maybe don't know him. You could be adopted. Never knew your biological father. But you still have a father. If you've never met your biological father, still what makes a great father is very forgiving children. Everyone of us in here has a father. I want to submit to you today that this is not a day we're going to celebrate fathers, other than this is a day we're going to forgive fathers as children. So if you can hear that little Father's Day message, that one's free. I'm going to pray. And in your hearts, let's all forgive our fathers for spanking us when we did what was right. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. We do ask and pray, oh God, that we forgive all of our fathers where they came up short. They maybe left us and we've never met them. But we forgive them just the same. Lord, those that's been a father to us, that are a father to us, any shortcomings that we have, that they have had, and where they followed up short, Lord God, right now we forgive them. And prophetically, because we forgive them, we call them a great father. We call them a father that we love. And we call them a father that we appreciate. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Happy Father's Day. Kingdom culture. Now we're going to move into the new series that we have at the church that we're beginning. It's called the Kingdom Culture. What is a kingdom culture? Why kingdom culture? We at this church are under this idea that we want to have a place that people can come and it's dynamic and that your life has changed. And when you leave, that you are at a better place than when you came. We also know that that's done through culture, through the culture of our congregation. And I have quite a... Today is going to be more of a teaching than a preaching. My job today is to set the groundwork of this series, The Kingdom Culture. And this is very important to us as a church. Very, very important. We are not wanting our church to be divided. Now, we understand we can't agree on everything. But we still believe that we can be in total unity because of the condition of our heart. That our hearts are in unity, not our heads. Can somebody hear that? I don't agree with myself a year ago. How are we going to demand to agree with each other? But our hearts are that that comes into agreement. Because we're of the same culture. The United States has a culture with many cultures. We can be different than our difference in our cultures, but you let somebody say something about the United States, and I hope your hair ruffles up on the back of your head. We're united in heart. Now watch this one as I move on. What I want you to see, though, Jesus prayed a prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is in heaven. So if here at this church, we want you to understand that we are after that. That His kingdom will come. You say, "Well, Alan, that's kind of a big statement, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it's a big statement. It's a supernatural statement. But we didn't say it. Jesus said it. We didn't make it up, nor did we say it. We're just agreeing with Him." Now, we feel very elementary here. And understanding what that means. I have looked for the results more than I have looked for the roadmap to get there. But there is a roadmap to get it from there to here. A lot of times we just want to jump there. Now let's watch this one as I try to bring us all into unity and to understanding. And please hear what I'm trying to say. And even though I don't perhaps do a very good way at saying it, I'm really trying to bring together this thing that Jesus is saying, what's on earth. He wants to come in heaven. He wants it to come to this earth. Now, I want you to please appreciate this. I'm up here speaking for God. Do you know how little I feel? Do you know how incapable I feel? I could just leave. I feel so inadequate in speaking for God. So I need you to help me and try to hear what the Spirit's saying as I struggle through it. Now, as we see the word culture, what does the word culture mean? I'm glad you asked. A culture is a system of beliefs, disciplines, practices, and relational boundaries that reveal how life is lived among a particular group of people. So we're wanting to create a culture here We come together as a congregation. But what we are after is for us to come together that we're all in the same cultural group of new life, which is the kingdom of heaven. Whether we're in the building together or outside, there are certain benefits that come with being in the culture of the kingdom. And it is our desire that everyone here feels that they're part of that culture. With that in mind, watch this one. A culture also means to grow in a prepared medium. You know, you can do, scientists takes a little, or if you go to the doctor and you got the flu, they might run a culture to try to identify what. So, or a culture is something that you like, you have a growing medium for plants. So we start seeing that a culture is something that's conducive to growth. So we're wanting to have a kingdom culture here. We're not wanting to do it just in word. We want to really do it. So we're wanting the kingdom to come to the earth and create a culture that all of that can grow. That's what a culture is. We want to find and live in the kingdom culture so we can sustain a move of God. Now, this is deliberate. We don't want anybody caught off guard when God swoops through this place like you've never seen. We just want you to be ready for it. No apologies. We're pursuing it with everything within us. Why do we need a kingdom culture? So as God's Spirit moves, it can be sustained. We're not looking for it to go and come and go. We're looking for it to come and stay. That's the idea. A true kingdom culture invades its surroundings. We're wanting to have such a kingdom culture that not that people find us and come, but that we invade there. Our culture is so contagious, it goes beyond here. When you know who you are, you're free to go and invade. Now, what is meant by a culture group? This is a culture group. Now, these are definitions that are just definitions that the whole world would use. A culture group refers to the cumulative deposit of knowledge, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchies, religion, notions of time, roles, concepts of the universe, material objects, and possessions acquired by a group of people in the course of generations. That's a cultural group. Now I want to throw in the term a subculture. Is a cultural group within a culture that differs in one or more ways from the culture. This would include differences in interests, behaviors, or beliefs like religion, ethnicity, and social economic status. A subculture can cause anarchy in a culture. In other words, we're wanting to have a kingdom culture that we're all in unity. I've worked in churches for over 30 years. And what happens, you'll have little subcultures pop up everywhere because they don't quite agree with the culture that's going on. So therefore, the subcultures create anarchy in the culture. Does that make sense? Now, who is that? That's a culture. They represent a culture. Bob? Don't touch that. That sounds like a song to me. Okay. Can you see that word? It's Groka. It's in New Guinea. This is a cultural group in New Guinea. You know them particularly by their dress and their face mask, they call it. But they have a certain culture. Let's try another one here. Anybody tell me what that is? Who? Monks. It's monks. It's exactly right. Buddhist monk in Thailand. They have a culture. You know, they kind of all dress alike. If you notice both of those cultures, they tend to all look alike. Right? Now, let's try one more. I know you're going to get this one, Bob. Come on, Bob. Throw her in there, babies. It's Father's Day. You got to look like the hero. Thailand. Wrong. It's Vietnam. Okay, y'all. Everybody wait on Bob on this one, okay? Just wait. Let's let him redeem himself. Go, Bob. Who is that standing there? Now, Bob, if you win this one, that's not a good sign. This is not a good sign, Bob. Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock in 1969. A culture. What was it called? A hippie culture. Now, this is what we call a counterculture, a subculture movement in the 1960s. So everything the hippie movement was for was everything the culture was. Everything they were against was everything the culture was for. Just did the opposite. It's called a subculture. Now, the only way a subculture can exist is that a subculture, it's like a parasite to the culture. The hippies couldn't existed if their parents before them in that culture hadn't worked and gave them a reason to be a hippie. Does anybody get that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's just the truth. In other words, you have to have the culture before the subculture could exist, is the point. And usually the subculture thinks it knows more than the culture. Well, you don't have to be a subculture. If you want another culture, just go to another culture. Just don't be a subculture in a culture and cause anarchy, and your culture's not going anywhere anyway, but just cause trouble. That makes sense. Now, if you're a reformed hippie, I do not apologize. And let me tell you why. Brian said something about a reformed redneck. I've never seen one. Now, I have seen people have redneck wannabes, but I've never seen a redneck want free. Listen, once a redneck, you never go back. Thought I'd throw that one in there. What's this one? Pastor said Jesus culture, and he's right. How about this one? Who's that? That's Bethel Church at Reading. That's Bill Johnson. That's Bill Johnson. Okay, there is another culture. You can see the differences in these cultures. You see the difference in a subculture. Now, we are not trying to establish many cultures, just one in New Life. Now, as I move a little quicker here, if you will follow me in this type thinking. Currently, there are five generations that make up our society of today. You have what's called Gen Z or iGen or Centennials. They were born from 1996 and later. I do not fall in that group. Then you have Millennials or Gen Y, born 1977 to 1995. I have one of my daughters that was born in that time, and she told me I refuse to be called a millennial. Not sure why, but that's what she said. The next one is Generation X. That's born from 1965 to 1976. Now, all of these different generations tend to carry a certain different culture, because the next generation always wants to be different than the previous generation. But if you ever tried just to be different of somebody else, you're probably going to look kind of stupid. I'm not supposed to use that word, am I? I'm a redneck, I can use it. It works. The big thing, you all understood what I said. You know that what that makes you. That's right, it's our language. So, Generation X, born 1965 to 76. Everybody tends to have a certain culture that goes with your group. Baby boomers, born 46 to 64. That would be me. Traditionalist or silent generation, born 45 and before. Now, those are typically what today they would say are the generations that make up our society today. So we tend to bring the cultures with these generations. The reason church is hard to do from the baby to the grave, so to speak, is because you're bringing together five or six different generations together with everybody doing culture a little different. And can you hear me? And try to make it jail. So we end up having different churches tend to cater towards different age groups. And that's fine. But we're under this idea that we're going for the whole thing. There again. We're maybe pretty elementary in it, but that's still our goal. We all must be willing to lay down our generational preferences and cultures for our kingdom culture. How can we come together in unity? It's because we are all willing to lay our cultural preferences down, because let me tell you something. We can integrate them, but the one we're talking about comes from heaven. And through this series of Kingdom Culture, we've titled it Finding the Kingdom Culture, is because the Kingdom Culture that we're talking about doesn't fit any of these generations. Technically, most people, we want to everybody bring their part in. They're all, well, this is out of my culture, and this is out of mine. And we've done all those things. I understand it. But it tends to make it rough going. Now, If we don't, our personal preference and cultures can be a subculture to the kingdom culture and can cause anarchy. It's just important that we all have the ability. Now, do I lay down do we want to incorporate things out of your generations? Of course. But we need to understand and distinguish that ever what your cultural preference is, you tend to say that's right and wrong. Now, everything that makes a nation and its people is wrapped up in its culture. Why is the United States in trouble today? It's because there's different agendas out there that's trying to change our culture. Now, I'm sorry, the United States was founded on certain principles that created our culture. So we now have subcultures attacking the culture. That's the tension you're feeling in our country. Now, the truth is, if you come to the United States, you can say, well, Alan, we need to be all-inclusive. We need to do it. Well, I understand that's a great thinking, but it just doesn't work. If you bring together a type of a culture that was founded on the Word of God, that's the culture that was the culture of this country. And it worked for a long time, right? But we see it under attack strongly today. Now, everything that makes a nation is wrapped up in its culture. The culture is like a greenhouse. In other words, the culture that we have here should be conducive of spiritual growth of the kingdom of God in your life. It has a greenhouse. You can see a greenhouse determines what you grow in it. So do we want to keep an environment here that's conducive to spiritual growth and spiritual things? So therefore, we probably won't have ever bingo on Friday night here. Probably just won't happen. Right? You agree with that one? I got the pastor's endorsement. There you go. So be it. So why do we need this kingdom culture? You say, Alan, why don't we just leave everything alone? What's the purpose? Why do we need it? God's plan from the creation was to bring His glory to the earth. That's why. Now, we got to decide, is church for us or was church God's idea? Well, it was God's idea. We're the students here. He's the teacher. So since He's the teacher and we're in His organization, we are agreeing when we come here that we want to be part of His culture. We need to decide to lay our cultural preferences outside by the door. We're going to come in here, God. We're going to read your book, and we're going to see what kind of culture you want to have in this group. And we've joined it, and when we joined it, we said we're going to leave our stuff out. We're going to go with yours. That's the idea. But God had this in His mind from creation. First, He chose a colony, I'll call it, with Adam and Eve. God created the earth. You know the story. Had 7 days of creation. He sent Adam and Eve down here. They were the first colony of heaven, if you will. God sent them to this earth. Now keep that in mind. Then he chose a nation to show it. Failure with the first colony. Ring any bells? Failure with the first colony here. So God decided to take up a nation, started with Abraham. And he chose this nation. First, he was going to send his glory to the earth, to Adam and Eve. They blew it. Then he said, I'll choose a nation. Now, something happened with this nation. Then he wanted to use this nation to show his glory through, which was the nation Israel. So now listen, God's the guy, and I shouldn't say God, guy, but God's the God that came up with this idea of creation, created the earth. He's the one that sent the first colony to the earth. He's the one that said, okay, I'm going to go with the nation. But God's idea was he was going to do it with us or without us. But the people said no. The nation Israel said no to be in the recipients of the glory. Even though God's glory had come to them, they could not believe it could be manifested through them. Now, that's a big failure. What happened with the nation Israel, they really did not believe that God could send His glory through them. So, first steps, kingdom culture. We've got to understand and say yes to God, you can send your glory through us. So, Alan, that's a pretty big statement. That's a real big statement. But it's one that has to be answered. Yes, God, send your glory through us. Now, here's what it looked like. You know the setting. Nation Israel had Moses. Went up on a mountain. Got the Ten Commandments. He comes back down. Nation Israel built a golden calf. Y'all remember the story? Well, God did not like that in His culture. He doesn't do golden calves. So God was pretty upset, and He told Moses, he said, I'm going to wipe them out. God said, Moses, I had it. Adam and Eve, they blew it. I said, I'm going to pick y'all as a nation. Surely I can get more than two, and y'all can do it. But now they've built a golden calf. I'm going to wipe them off the face. I'm done with them. And Moses said, God, you're going to give yourself a bad reputation. If you go out here and kill your people, what am I going to tell everybody? You got mad one day, so follow God, and if you don't like you, He'll kill you. Which is the attitude of a lot of people today. If He was still doing that, we'd done be dead. So, this was this was God's response to Moses. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So God looks to Moses and said, listen, Moses, okay, I'm not going to kill them. But as sure as I live, I am going to fill the earth with my glory. Now we'll get into what that is in a little bit, maybe. So this thing us doing church sitting here is not my idea or pastors or elders or people before us and after us. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. Because He is still looking for a group because He made this promise to Moses, and I got a feeling it's going to happen. Now whether we want to be in it or not, it's up to us. Now, I don't know about y'all, I love you and all that, but it's too much trouble without the glory. There's too much that's broke that needs fixing. There's too many hurting people that need healed. It's just too much out there. It's like a baseball player going to the game without his ball and bat. If we ain't got the glory, we can't play. God said He's going to send it. That's what I want you to understand, kingdom culture. Why kingdom culture? Because we're trying to respond to what God promised Moses. Now, I want you to understand something about the presence of God and the glory of God right quickly, and I've got to move quickly. Presence is subjective. Worship, service, and everyone does not experience the same thing, but is the beginning of glory. You've been in a service. Somebody's over here, praise God, I feel His presence, this is wonderful. Then you're standing right beside them, you think, I wish they'd drop their hands, it's getting on my nerves. You too, huh? The presence of God is subjective to the person. Sometimes you're in the Spirit, sometimes you're just not. Right? I can tell us sometimes we come to church and say, God, touch me if you can. Right? Now, that's the presence. But now there's something different when the glory comes. Glory is objective. Worship service where everyone experiences the same thing. When the glory's here, if somebody runs down here and gets born again, and we all see it, that's glory. I want you to know the difference in presence and glory. When the glory comes, we all see it. Somebody can get born again or whatever. Sometimes I know people scared to death of somebody falling over in the Spirit. I know. It makes me uncomfortable too. It's never happened to me in my life. And I've prayed for hundreds and it has. Now go figure. I've been to church and people want me to pray for people. I think, oh no. And I'll pray for them. And there they go. I'm like, can I be honest with you? I'm like, God don't do that. Then I think, well, did God do that? I know I didn't touch him. Did you touch him, God? Only thing I know to do is show up and let God be God. That's all I know to do. But my point being, if it is God, everybody's seeing the same thing. That's called glory. Do I think some people took courtesy calls? Yeah, I do. Yeah, some people took a courtesy call. Have I been there when God did something? Yeah. Yeah, I've been there when God did. Now, I'm not promoting it. Trust me. If I pray for you and you go over whatever, it makes me nervous. I'll just be honest with you. Number one, I know some people's going to leave and say, well, I don't want to go to that church. They're doing that falling down stuff. Well, for the record, we don't do the falling down stuff. But if the glory comes, we make no apologies. We're not even promoting God do it. I've been at one place one time and said, God, there ain't nobody going to come back here if you keep doing this. I've been in a revival service where those things happen. So we don't make any apologies. God probably won't do it the same way He's done it in times past. But this much I can tell you. When the glory comes, we all see it. I'm just asking you, don't touch it. It's okay. Leaders, we're watching. Don't be afraid. We're not going to pull out snakes. Nothing like that's going to happen. Everybody be cool. But if the glory comes, lives will be changed, and we are after that. But we're watching, okay? Don't anybody get freaked out. We're looking for people to be born again is our big glory point. That's what we're after. If the Lord wants to do something else, come, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to touch it. Now, that's the difference. Oh, man, I got to hurry. Now, we got to shift from spiritual impressions to physical manifestations. We feel the presence, and all of a sudden, but you're going to start seeing God do things. That's okay if God wants to do that. The glory is what happened when the cloud filled Solomon's temple, 2 Chronicles. Everybody saw the cloud. Glory became an object of reality in the physical realm. On the day of Pentecost, every one of the 120 heard the mighty rushing wind, and they experienced the dimensions of glory together. Excuse me. When glory comes, all flesh shall see it, the Scripture says. It's in Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Can you see that? I'm just reporting for God. I'm not God. I'm just telling you what He said. And there again, I do it in fear and trembling. It's got me in a mess. I got to say stuff that y'all were going to say, Alan, don't think you should say that. Well, I'm more scared of God than I am y'all. That's just the way it is. I'm going to go home and milk cows. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. God says He's going to send His glory. Nobody on the planet really knows what that definition. They don't know what that looks like. They just know God said it. Glory's more than presence. In the kingdom culture is a greenhouse that will house His glory. John 17. Neither pray I for these alone. This is Jesus. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, and me are. Can you see what Jesus is saying here? The issue is oneness. That they all may be what? One. Now, we got to figure out what that means. I know we got to figure out what true one means. As thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me. Here we go. Here's that glory He said He's going to send. He says, the glory that you gave me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now, another sign that the glory's hit us is that we're one. See that? If we're divided, we're not in no glory. This is too hard to do without the glory. The Holy Spirit of God makes us all look better than we really are. I call it spiritual makeup. Right? The Holy Spirit makes us look better than we really are. Without the glory, we're sunk. We're going to have ball games or do something because we need to quit this Jesus stuff. Without the glory, we're in trouble. Key of glory is we're one. It's not optional. It has to be. So what is a kingdom culture? A kingdom is a sovereign rulership. Now, I'm going to go into second gear here right quickly. A kingdom is a sovereign rulership and govern the influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with what? His will. So if we're going to have a kingdom culture, we're looking for his will. Intent and purpose producing a citizenship of people that reflect the culture and the nature of the king. So it's this church here. We want to develop a kingdom culture. We're wanting the king to rule over this territory. And we're wanting to know what his intent is and his purpose is for us being here. That's just it. Because we want to have the nature of the king. Ready? Now, this is the divine assignment of God was for man, that man was for, was to establish a colony of heaven on the earth in the beginning. To establish on earth what was in heaven. This is God's plan. So we find ourselves sitting here under the same idea that Adam and Eve were in the garden. First colony. Call us third colony if you want to. God was looking to send what was in heaven to the earth. Make no mistake about it. It's not for later, and it's not for some time way out yonder. It's now.
Yes, that's right.
Can you say it with me? It's now. Now, we got to get that. We got to get that it's now.
That's right.
I don't know about y'all. I can't wait till later. Now, establish the kingdom government of heaven on earth. This is our assignment. We are to colonize the earth with heaven. Now, come on, somebody. You want to try this one on? We're to colonize the earth with heaven. We've been commissioned to do that. Go splatter heaven out everywhere. Fill the earth with the culture of heaven. The key to colonization is the governor, which is the Holy Spirit. See, when you send a governor, when they send a colony over here, the first thing he did was got a governor of the colony. Well, God's wanting to send to heaven to earth, and he said, all right, I'm going to send you my governor, which is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
What does a set of governors do to an engine? It's the governing factor. A governor to a gas engine is the governing factor to the engine. It tells you how fast it runs and how slow it runs. Governors. That's what a governor does. The governing factor to the church is the Holy Spirit. Can you see why we got to understand who our governor is? Can you understand that? Can you understand why we want everybody here to have a good dose of a governor? It'll make you look better than you really are. Don't come in naked without it. You'll be embarrassed. You'll show yourself. We need to be on our best behavior, have a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Now, colonization is the extension of a kingdom into a foreign territory. Make no mistake about it. The kingdom of heaven, we are a colony in a foreign territory. The enemy took it over. The program of colonization is accomplished through the following. Dispatch the governor to the colony. Establish a colony of citizens. Amen? You with me? Are you going to sleep? Are you with me? All right. Implement the culture of the kingdom. That's what we're wanting to do. Create a community reflecting the kingdom. That means when you leave this building, we still want to stay in a community. We help each other and we do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Listen, we got to have the community. You say, well, I want to go to Florida. I want to go out there. Well, okay, go visit those places, but don't abandon your community. Because we're trying to create a culture. Now, produce a distinct society on the earth. We are to have a total society of the kingdom in this place. Now, what is a colony? It's a group of immigrants or their descendants who settle in a distant land but remain subject to the parent company. So we see ourselves that way, a group of citizens in a foreign territory to influence that domain for their home government. This is our process. A foreign territory inhabited by citizens charged to influence that domain with the culture and values of their government. That's what a colony is. The presence of a distinct culture, citizenry, in a foreign territory governed by the laws and the nature of their home government. Now listen to me. Our lives as a kingdom culture is to be governed by the laws of God. In your life, in your business, in your family. A colony becomes successful, this is a good one, when the culture of the kingdom and the king is fully manifested in the colony. That's what we want. We're just eat up with it. The culture of the kingdom and the king is a fully manifestation in the colony. A colony is really a nation under the complete influence and governing authority of the king of the home country. We can say he sits on the right hand of God the Father, but he sent his governor to us. And I submit to you. We need to be in relationship with the governor more. You have to spend real time to get that. Here's a component of a nation. It's got land or territory, which is the hearts of men and women. It has a language. Now watch this one. One language. We need to all be speaking the same thing. If we're trying to pop up a lot of subcultures, how do you know you're trying to do a subculture? It's because you're being critical of the culture. Now, if you got a problem with the culture, you come to the elders. Say, what meaneth this? And then the elders will tell you what meaneth this to the best of their ability. Or if we don't know, you know what we'll say? We don't know. But you don't try to cut out a subculture within the culture. It'll cause anarchy. I want to speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be what? No divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Can we have differences of opinion? Yes, but come to the elders. Just come to the elders. Elders are sitting around not doing anything anyway. Well, not really. Now, the language of oneness. I want you to see this one. We want to be one. We all want to speak the same thing, but there's a language. Now, please hear me. You decipher a language. A language has a mood to it. The language of oneness is honor, love, and fear. Here's where it says it, 1 Peter 2:17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, and fear God. Now, I want to stick just a second on honor. Do you see that? Who do we honor and not honor? It says honor everyone. Now, please hear me right quickly. If this kingdom culture is going to work, we got to do this. That's all. We just got to do those three things. Very simple. You honor everyone. That means you're not putting other people down. It means you honor everyone. Right? You honor your wife and your husband and your children and somebody else's husband and wife and children. You have an honoring attitude. You don't have a dishonoring attitude. The biggest thing that the United States is hurting for today is honor. Nobody honors nobody. Turn on the news, no honoring whatsoever. All of a sudden, what you want to do is see how many people you can talk about. That's what's right. Listen, y'all, this is not kingdom culture. If you turn on TV, that's not kingdom culture. If you want to be part of the kingdom culture, your language has oneness, which is you honor everyone. Maybe you heard your grandmother say, if you can't say something good about somebody, keep your mouth shut. Anybody have a grandmother that said that? Can't say something good about somebody. Listen, it's a good idea. You want to honor everyone. When you don't, listen to me. When you don't honor everyone, you have an abortionist spirit. Now, suck on that one a minute. It's an abortionist spirit. You're out trying to kill something. When you honor someone, you're bringing life. Can you hear me? That's what honoring is. So if we're going to have a kingdom culture, we want to honor everyone. We'll bring life to this place. Love the brotherhood. You got to honor before you can love, and you got to honor love before you'll fear God. Can you see that? That's the language of a kingdom culture. Let me move on. How can this culture have true oneness? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Now watch this one. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now, I'd like to have that as a game. Let's see who can out honor the other one. That's what he's saying. Outdo one another in showing honor. Could it be that honor's a big deal? Could honor be something that we don't realize how big a deal it is? In life, if you don't get it on honor, you won't get anywhere. You won't get anywhere. Honor is the key to success. If you honor someone or something, you appreciate it. If you honor everyone, you'll pretty much just not sin. Most sin comes under the category of dishonor. Can you hear that? Now, oh mercy, I'm running behind. Pray for us that we are sure that we have clear conscience, desiring only honorable in all things. Let me see what I've got. Unlocking and finding the kingdom culture. And I've got to be here right quickly. When we unlock and find the kingdom culture, we're going to go into the parables. Pastor will start next week with parables. The parables are secrets or hidden mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to be going into the parables. It unlocks us and helps us find it. We really ask that you be here that these next few Sundays, we'll probably be 8 or 10 maybe or 12 or even more, I don't know, but we're going to be going over the parables, which gives us ideas of what God's thinking in this kingdom culture. And we see this in Matthew about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12, you see that he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 13. Therefore speak to them in parables, because they see not and hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus started speaking in parables in the Scripture, which we're going to be going over in the next few weeks. In these parables, we're going to unlock what this kingdom culture looks like, so that perhaps when God sends His glory in this other measure that's not just His presence, but something that we all can see, if He chooses to do that, can't make it happen. But if He does, we're ready. That's what our teachings are going to be. Now, I'm going to give us a little example. We have three parables with the same subject. There will be different approaches to these parables. Different truths will be given in these parables. And we'll get the revelation of them. We have three parables here that we'll be doing. One's always an example I'm giving, the householder, the 10 maidens, 10 virgins, the parable of the talents. All three parables are to empower one word that Jesus gave to His disciples. As an example, three parables, but it has a key on one word. Now, please hear me. He said to them, watch. Okay. Revelation through a parable. Through these parables, He says, watch. Now, what could watch have to do with it? It is the one command Jesus gives to those that are waiting. In these three parables, talking about kingdom culture, He tells them what to do. He says, watch for My appearing. And on these three, you've got this word watch. The word is watch. These three parables tell us what it means to watch. Now, I don't have time to develop, but He says in chapter 24, he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what your day of the Lord is coming." Verse 44, "Therefore you also must be ready." See that? "For the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Again, 25, after he has completed the story of the 10 maidens, he says in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour." What are you saying here? In our culture, we want to set up a culture that we are always aware and watching for His appearing. So, well, Alan, what's that got to do with anything? Why do we need to watch? It aligns us with heaven's revelation. Now, here's what you've got to understand. When we are always watching for His coming, there's things that precedes His coming. If I'm always aware and always watching for this coming, that's what these parables are about. I'm always watching for this coming of Christ. That sets me up in a way of what I'm doing. I'm living life every day, always watching for His coming. It produces in us an expectancy which gives us a correct perception on seeing reality. As I'm watching for His coming, it will create in me the perception that's correct to see true reality. It's not influenced by TV and this one and this tabloid, that one and this one, that one. No, I'm watching for His coming. We view life in the light of His coming. With this in mind, it affects our behavior. Let me give you an example. If you knew Jesus was coming tonight at 9 o'clock, you'd probably go home, take a bath. You'd get ready, you'd get down and pray, and you'd do it all. Right? You'd cover every base, because when He... company's coming. Right? So when you have the idea of watching for the company to come, you tend to clean up stuff a little bit. It's amazing how you change how you act. That's what these three parables are talking about. You're watching for His coming. So it affects how you act and how you clean up and... You just don't act any old way. Because company's coming. Guess who's coming to dinner? Right? These parables are telling us on why. I'm going to stop there. These parables, these three as an example, are telling us in our kingdom culture what we're to be doing. One of the priorities are we're to always watch for His coming. And when we watch for His coming, His coming is not what it's after. What it's after is that you're watching for His coming, and while you're watching for His coming, there's all that, listen, there's a procession of truth and revelation that precedes His coming.
That's good.
So in our watching, it aligns us with heaven, so that we start receiving what precedes His coming. It's not about Him coming, it's about you watching. Now that might sound simplistic, but it's revelation. We keep our minds on His coming, is what we do. And as we keep our minds on His coming, we'll get all kinds of other stuff. Did you know His glory is going to come before His coming? His presence has already come. You felt His presence. So the presence and the glory, and then His second coming. So we always have one face towards heaven. Our hearts and our minds are towards heaven. Amen? So we can receive. So therefore, I know that's a pretty rough way to try to introduce a kingdom culture, but it's the best I got. I hope you can sort of see what we're after. We are reaching for something that's impossible. But if you find yourself here today under the sound of my voice, you have been invited to be part of this kingdom cultural experiment in new life. We don't pretend that we'll do it right, but we're pretending we're going after it. One of the first things we want to do is to keep our eyes on His coming. Stand with me if you will. And I don't have an invitation of any type. This is just a teaching and an introduction. But if you're here today and you've never met Jesus Christ, if you have never asked Him into your heart, today can be your day. We will help you understand how you can be a citizen of this colony of the kingdom of heaven at this place. I am going to ask the elders, if you don't mind, to come up. And let's say that you have something you need prayer for. It could be a physical illness. It could be a lost loved one. It could be finances. Are the elders anybody special? These are normal, average men, but they do walk in a special office of elder. And because God said it, and because God empowers it, He says, have the elders to pray for you. It's a pretty good idea. And it could be you're running to His glory. So I'm going to pray, and for those for salvation, are the tents set up outside? I'm not sure. They're not. Okay. If you're for salvation, you're welcome just to come up here to one of the elders. If you're not sure, you can come up. And we've also got two guys at the back. They'll be glad to pray with you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for this day, and we bless Your holy name. Now, Lord God, as we walk into an endeavor, the kingdom culture for this church here at New Life, Lord, we know that we have had some of Your culture in times past. We understand that, and we appreciate it. Lord, we just want a greater definition and more of it. Let us be more aware and more purposeful of Your kingdom culture. Let it be said of New Life that that church over there has a culture of heaven if you ever want to touch it. Lord God, we do ask and pray for the power of Your Holy Spirit to be upon these people, upon this place. I thank You for the fathers. I thank You that we've been forgiven. And I ask and pray, O God, that You're our Heavenly Father. And I pray, O God, on this Father's Day at New Life, that this culture will begin in a supernatural way. In Jesus' name, amen.